Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412.
With a thankful heart, with a thankful heart, and a song of praise, we've come to you, gathered in this place, for the things you've done, and for who you are, we worship you. With a thankful heart.
Psalms 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So he says, I will praise. Remember, what's that word praise mean? Toda. And toda means thanksgiving. So we're to be thankful and offer up thanksgiving. The word toda means to lift your hands in thanksgiving. An acknowledgement and agreement with what God says. So in other words, when you are thankful and you lift your hands to the Lord, you're coming into an agreement with what God says about you and not what the world is saying and what everything everybody else is saying about you. That's why it's important to understand this area of Toda and this area of thanksgiving, because we're actually preparing the way. Remember in Hebrews 13, 15, it says that we're to offer up a sacrifice of praise with thanksgiving continually. So we offer up thanksgiving continually, a sacrifice. See, it's a sacrifice. And that's what Toda is connected with. It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A sacrifice is something you don't want to give up. You don't want to give it up. You don't feel like it, but you do it anyways. And as you do that, you are putting yourself in a position for the supernatural to flow through you. I tell you what, I have been operating in this all week. I've known this, but it seems like I've gone to another level in this area. Because, folks, when we offer thanksgiving, it just releases this supernatural in your life. Creativity, life flows through you when you're thankful. It protects you from being negative and complaining and murmuring and fault-finding and judging other people when you're thankful. See, when you're thankful, it releases the power of God in your life. Now, it says in Psalms 50, verse 23, whoever offers praise, Toda, thanksgiving, glorifies me. Whoever offers praise, Toda, thanksgiving, a sacrifice of praise, does what? Glorifies me, glorifies the Lord. That word glorify means to value, to esteem, to prize, to value and to esteem the Lord. That's what we do when we offer thanksgiving. We value God and we esteem him. We put him in his proper place. Now look what it says. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. See, when we offer that up, now we put ourselves in a position for God to show us salvation. God wants to show it to you so you see it and you won't be able to deny it. Now watch this. The NIV version says this. He who offers sacrifices of thank offerings honors me, the Lord. And he, meaning you, prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. You see, when you offer up thanksgiving, you're preparing the way for God to come in with salvation in your life and show it to you. Did you get that? Who's preparing the way? You are, not God. See, we have to do our part. When we offer up this thanksgiving, and we're thankful, it's preparing the way for God's salvation to come into your life. And that word salvation means to deliver, to rescue, to make safe, to be secure. God's preparing the way. You are preparing the way when you offer that thanksgiving for God's salvation to come, to rescue you, to deliver you, to make you secure, and to make you safe in whatever trouble you're facing. Because, folks, listen to me. There's trouble all around us. There's all kinds of things all around us, right? But when we offer this, there's a protection in it over your soul and over your life. I'm telling you what, folks. I have been operating this week at another level, and I am experiencing the joy that just, you know, sometimes this time of year can get on you. You know, you just have negative memories or things that try to get on you to bring you down. And when you focus on that, you're going to go down. You're going to be negative. Folks, we have nothing to be negative about. We got everything to be thankful about and be grateful for. Everything. We got problems. Everybody's got problems. I got plenty of problems. I got me some problems. But I tell you what, I've been offering Thanksgiving, and it's been empowering me. You got problems? You're going to have problems. I'm going to tell you what, anytime you're successful in anything, from the time you begin to the end, there's going to be problems all the way there. And when you value your problems more than the success at the end, you'll never get to the end. You got to value what's at the end more than the problems you're going through. Come on, am I making sense? That's the way it is. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Remember when Jonah, go with me to Hebrews 12, I'm just reflecting. Remember when Jonah was in the belly of the fish and he was reflecting and thinking about his problems and being in the belly of the fish, and he was all bound with his afflictions and all, and it says that he was beginning to worship worthless idols. Worthless idols. Remember, that word idol means lies and empty. In other words, he was focused on all of his problems and the mess he was in. And then it says, because of that, he forsook the mercy of God. You see, when you focus on your problems, you forsake the mercy of God in your life. God's mercy can't get to you when you're all focused on your problems. He's wanting to give you mercy. He's wanting to give you help. We're the ones that stop it when we're unthankful. We make idols out of our problems, and they're nothing but lies. Because in light of eternity, they are nothing. I mean zip, zero, nothing. So now look at this. Go with me, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now watch this. Jesus stayed focused on the prize, on God. He valued God more than the things he went through. Who for the joy that was set before him, what's the joy? God, his relationship with God. The joy of the Lord is your strength, right? And you know what else? That you and I would come into the kingdom. That was his joy. So who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. That word set means to restore to a proper position and a stable state. So when your focus is right, when your focus is on God, you have restored your focus to a proper position and a stable state. You are stable. You are in the proper position. You are in the position that God has created you for when you're focused on God and what he has for you. The word lost means out of alignment and out of position. But when you're saved and you're focused on God, you are in the right position. You've been restored to the proper position and a stable state when you're focused on God. Now, think about this. Despising the shame. You know what the word despise means? It means to devalue and disesteem. So what we have to do is we have to devalue and disesteem the problems that are around us. See, that's what shame is. It's rejection. It's people talking negative about you, all kinds of stuff coming against you. That's what the shame is. They weren't significant. He valued God above those problems. See, too many of us make our problems bigger than our God. See, it's what you value. That's what's important. If you value, you're going to glorify God, and you're thankful. When you're thankful, the word thankful is synonymous with the word glorify. So when we're thankful, we're glorifying God, and we're preparing the way for salvation to come in our life. Not based on what we see or the problems around us, based on who God is and what he said about us. Am I making sense? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11 real quick, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Now, what's that saying? It's saying that Moses esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater than all the riches. He could have had all the riches in Egypt. including all the women, everything. He said, no, I want God, and I want what he has for me, and whatever comes, I value that. That's what that word esteem means, to value. So I value the things of God, and even with the stuff that comes, more than all the riches in Egypt. You know what? If Moses would have chose the riches in Egypt, none of us would have ever heard of him. We'd have never known about Moses. Moses was a great leader. He was a great leader because he chose, when you make the right choice towards God, it's going to affect you and many others. Am I making sense? When you value God and you keep him in his proper place, you are going to influence other people for the kingdom of God. You're going to advance the kingdom of God. And that we do that through being thankful. There's always something positive in every circumstance. I don't care whatever problem you're in, there's always something positive. There's light at the end of the tunnel. If it turns out to be another train, there's still something positive. I am just here to tell you, we are masters at gravitating towards the negative. But folks, when we got God and we're valued, we can't go towards the negative when we got God in his proper place. You won't go. When you are thankful, you glorify and you value and you esteem God. Nothing should compare to it. If nothing compares to it, you'll get there. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great gain. When you got God in his rightful place, you're going to increase. Gain means to increase. What we value needs to be our right perspective, but we have misplaced values. John Wesley was probably one of the greatest men of God in the history, aside from the apostles and the disciples. And John Wesley, you know, his wife, she never did get saved. He would be in his church praying. She'd come in and start kicking him, cussing at him, tell him to quit worshiping this God. She would show up at his meetings and say, he's lying. He's been out drunk all night. That was his marriage. But, you know, he just took his problem and said, I'll just go ahead and change the world. See, too many times, you know what? Some of us have marriage problems. We're always concerned about what our spouse is doing. You know, if you only knew what I was going through. See, it's not about what you're going through. It's about what you're doing. There isn't even going to be marriage in heaven. When you value those problems above God, you're not going to get there. If we will do God's will in the midst of our problems, you're going to get to where God has called you to. It's better for you to do God's will for your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, the people you're connected with. It's better for you to be about God's will than sitting around whining and complaining. Because whining and complaining stops the mercy of God from getting into your life. It's better for you to do his will. What's his will? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. It's his will that we be thankful. This is huge, folks. You know, I was in line to buy a Christmas gift at Starbucks this week, and I was looking at my watch. I was there for 25 minutes. One person in front of me, and she kept saying, you know, I'm sorry, but it's taking so long, but she kept looking back and saying that. I was ready to say, you know, you don't have to be sorry. I'm all right. I'm fine. You know, and I was. I really had peace. I was about ready to buy her something extra there, you know? But she was the only one for 25 minutes buying this and this drink and that. And just, I'm sitting there, boy, this is something. But I had peace. I didn't get discouraged at all. Not even that much. Because I've been operating in this. You see, when you're thankful, there's a protection for your soul. But when you start looking at your problems, it's going to take you down. When you're thankful, it protects you. Most of the things we worry about aren't even worth it. They're not worth the powder and lead to blow them up with. That's what my dad used to say. I always liked that. The reason things we worry about are so big, because our God is too small. I remember reading a story about these two artists. They were admiring this painting. They were at this big art show, and they were admiring this painting. And this fly landed on this painting, and it landed on a dark spot of this painting, big, beautiful painting. And the one artist says to the other one, he says, do you think that fly can see the whole painting, or can he just see the little dark spot? He says, well, he's got eyes all around him, but he can only see the dark spot. Couldn't see the big picture. That's the way we are. When we're looking at our problems, we're just focused on the dark spot. But God sees the big picture. There's much more to our life. But if we stay focused on the dark spot, we're going to miss out on the big picture. I remember a story about this gentleman named Genghis Khan. He was a leader of the Mongolian Empire. And back in those days, in 1162, he lived from 1162 to 1227. And back in those days, they would train a hawk to hunt. And these hawks, they would train them, and they would just about do anything for them. So he was on a hunting trip with a bunch of his men. And he always liked to go out and try to get game by himself. And there had been a drought in that area, and there was not much water around. And so he took this trail off to the side just by himself with his hawk, and he got thirsty. And he was very thirsty because he hadn't had water for a long period of time. And he saw this water dripping from this rock. And so he takes his cup out of his duffel bag, and he goes over there, and he puts that cup up under there, and it drips and drips and drips, and it fills up. And he had to wait for it to fill up. And then as he put it to his mouth, the hawk came and knocked it out of his hand. And he thought, what is he doing? And so he did it again. Drip, 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 filled up. Hawk came, knocked it out again. Three times he did. The fourth time, he filled it up. He was ready for the hawk this time, his hawk. And he killed his hawk with his sword. And then he drank the water, but he wanted more water. So he went up the rocks to find out where the water was coming from. And he found a little pool in the rocks where the spring had been feeding into that was causing that to drip down. And in that pool was a large poisonous snake, and it was dead, and it polluted the water. The hawk was trying to keep him from drinking that water. And he began to weep, and he said, I've just killed my best friend. This is a true story. I've just killed my best friend. You know, some of us are like that. Some of us are like that. We kill our best friends with our words. When they're trying to get something into our life, help us out to keep us from something negative affecting us later. Am I making sense? And that's the way we start talking negative about something they're doing. And really, we get angry for no reason. There's a bigger picture. God sees the bigger picture. So folks, listen to me. When we're thankful, we begin to see the bigger picture. It affects us and the way we see things. Sometimes we look at some people and say, how do they do it? We wonder how they do what they do and get through what they get through and go through what they go through. The problem is you couldn't do it. You couldn't go through what they go through because of your values. It's what you're valuing. Paul said in Philippians 3, he talked about all of his accolades, all of his education and all the great things he's done. And then he says, but I count it all as dung in comparison to Christ, the knowledge of Christ. I count it. I value that. That word count means value. I value that as dung, horse manure, compared to the things of God. In other words, all our education, all that means nothing compared to Christ. In comparative, it's the relative worth. It's a relative worth toward God. Nothing can compare to God. Nothing. The Bible says we're delight ourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Some of you don't want to do that because you're afraid He's going to put you over in Africa in a hut. But you know what? You'll be happier and more fulfilled in a hut in Africa if you're in His will than you will be in a mansion and driving a Rolls Royce over here. Oh, I tell you what, I'm serious. I'm fulfilled. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I've been with the Lord for 27 years, and ain't nothing going to get my joy because I know where I came from. See, that's what we got to understand. We got to understand where we came from, and we got to remember and reflect back. That's why he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He's commanding us not to forget his benefits. Why? Because we forget them. We tend to forget. But if you don't forget and you remember where you came from and be thankful for it, God will bless you. Yeah, I came from Dysfunction Junction. I came from a mess. I was a scoundrel. And so were you. Yeah. That's right. You were too. Well, not me. I came from a good family, and we had it all. You was from Dysfunction Junction too. And don't think you had this great thing. No. Outside of Christ, it was nothing. Only in Christ is it anything. Am I making sense today? We have so much to be thankful for, but we get focused on our problems, and we start complaining and focused on that. And you know what? You'll never be successful in the kingdom of God. It doesn't advance anything in the kingdom. But when you're thankful, you begin to advance God's kingdom because it puts you in the right place and position with God. It's important to rehearse what God has done in your life, always. In Isaiah 51, verse 1, it says, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. He's saying, look to the rock from which you were hewn, your source, and to the hole, the pit you came out of. And we all came out of a pit, every one of us. He says, don't forget that pit that I brought you out of. That's what he's saying. That's important because what it does is it creates thanksgiving in your heart. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 through 15, he's stirring them up. He says, I'm reminding you of this and of that and the things of God. And it stirs them up. I'm stirring some of you up, reminding you now. Some of you came in here today heavy and whining in your heart, and you're not going to do it no more today because it's coming off of you. I'm stirring you up. When I reflect on what God has done, I know he's watching over me. It says in Psalms, it says, the Lord preserves the simple. I fit in that category. I know none of you do, but you know. If you are depressed, you are not looking at the goodness of God and all he has done. You can't meditate on the goodness of God and all he has done and be depressed. Depression comes when you're focused on negative. You're looking at negative things. You're thinking about the negative. That's where depression comes. There is no reason to be discouraged. None. Not one reason to be discouraged. Man, we got to understand that, don't we? Not one. We need to quit looking at other people and judging them and thinking about what there's going on. Well, they got this and they. Who gives a flip? It's what God is doing in your life. See, too many people start looking at other people and all they got. See, that's where the values come from. The value comes from the media and all the world system, and you compare yourself to that, and that's your value system. When really, that's a false value system. The values ought to come from God. Our values should come from God and what he has for you. Because see, have you seen that MTV where they show all those stars and all the stuff they have and those big houses, and they just constantly show that? That's a joke. People watch that and think, well, I don't have nothing. Well, you know what? That's right. You won't have nothing if you keep looking at that. But you start looking at God and God will take care of you. Too many times, you know what? We hear about kids and what they don't have and the problems teenagers have today, and they have more problems and more stress and more pressure on them than we've ever had. That's not true. It's no different today than it was 100 years ago. That's right. That's exactly right. It's the value system. You remember that story about the cans in the grocery? And they're dented in the side because there's the can had an empty spot in there. Vacuum. The atmospheric pressure was greater and created a vacuum and caused it to collapse on the side. It didn't collapse because you dropped it and bent it. It collapsed because there was a vacuum in there. You see, it's not the pressures without that cause us to collapse. It's the vacuum within. You see, the vacuum of God. When we put God in and we're full of God and thinking about him, the pressures without become nothing. They become minuscule. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Those pressures can't cause you to collapse, and they will not cause you to collapse. We put too much value on the problems, and when really that was just a normal atmospheric pressure that caused that to collapse, that can. And it's just normal problems that cause people to collapse. But when we have the right value system, it's not going to cause us to collapse. And then we look at young people. Well, they have more problems today, and they just have it harder than they've ever had. No, I don't want to belittle this. And I know you don't like it when I devalue your problems and make light of your problems. I don't like, I know you don't like that. You like to hold on to them and keep them where they're at, right? Well, I hope you're not doing that today, because we need to understand when we're thankful, those problems become smaller and smaller. I remember a story about a guy, and his name was Thomas A. Crapper. We think our teens have it rough. They kicked him out of the house at 11 years old. Thomas A. Crapper. He walked 360 miles to London, and he ended up inventing the toilet. That's a true story. Yeah, I'm glad he invented the crapper. How about you? I'm glad we got a couple of them up in here today. How about you? That's right. But you see, he took a negative thing, and look what he's left us. A blessing from high God. Amen. He had nothing, only the clothes on his back. And you know what? That was out of the norm. Normal was 12 and 13 years old is when they kicked him out. What if we kicked him out at 10 or 11 and 12 and 13 today? Oh. Nobody knows the problems I have. You know what? That right there is empty. Because if you think you're the only one with problems, you're aborting the answer from God in your life. You're stopping it. You don't know what I'm going through, the financial problems we have, and I got lost my job. And if you stay focused on that, that's going to keep you from God getting into your life. But when you begin to be thankful, now you're preparing a way for salvation to come. Your problems, I'm going to mark. Can you see that mark on that paper? Can you all see it? In light of eternity, that's the way your problem is. You see that? It doesn't even mean anything. Folks, 1,000 years from now, what you're going through now, it's just momentary. That's why Paul said, therefore we do not lose heart, for though our light afflictions are but for a moment, they're working for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight in glory. He said, though my outward man is perishing. He wasn't saying he didn't have problems. He said, man, I got me some problems. I'm perishing outside. He says, but they're light afflictions. Well, you say, well, I can't relate to what you're saying because my afflictions are heavy. Well, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at Paul's light afflictions. Beaten with rods, stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, snake bitten, light afflictions. No complaining. When we will spend time remembering who we are in God, we'll be thankful. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. In Psalms 100, be thankful in him and bless his name. For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And just before that, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord, he is God. For it is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. For we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We're his people, and we're his sheep of his pasture. We're dependent on him. And when we're thankful, now the mercy of God can flow through us. It's everlasting. And that's what we need. We need his mercy. You see, when we're thankful, it changes things. You can't get discouraged running around being thankful. Man, I had all kinds of phone calls this week. They didn't work this week. You understand what I'm saying? When you're thankful, it protects you. It keeps you filled up. You don't have that vacuum that wants to cause you to collapse. And it's your value. It's what you're valuing. We need to value God above anything we're going through. Anything. That's why he says, don't walk as fools in Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 20. He says that we're to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. And do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord? In everything give thanks. But understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. You see, that's how you're filled with the Spirit when you're giving thanks. Now you're filled with the Spirit. Well, I'm filled with the Spirit because I speak in tongues. That don't mean you're filled with the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit when you're in thanksgiving, when you're thankful. That's how you stay full of God. No vacuum, no place to cause you to collapse. Stay thankful.
With a thankful heart, we will give you praise. You've been so good, covered us with grace. You have been our strength in a time so dark. So we worship you with a thankful heart.
So we lift up our praise.
We lift up our praise. And we lift up our sacrifice to you. Lord, we offer our prayers. And we offer our lives in gratitude.
We lift up our praise.
Our sacrifice to you. Lord, we offer our prayers and we offer our lives in gratitude. For all you do, we worship you with a thankful heart.
Been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Road Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.